Christmas. It's good to see you. It's good to see some new faces as well. I'm assuming some family are here that you've invited to church, and so welcome to you as well. It's great to see you. If you're new, we'd love to get to know you as well, and so come and see us after the service and let us know who you are, and we'd love to get to know you if you're ready for that. Now, we've been journeying and looking at various faces during this Christmas season. Those that were involved in Christmas, and you're welcome to jump on our YouTube channel and catch up after the service to know where we are. But today, we're going to look at the angels. So if you want to open up, if you've got a Bible there in front of you, to Luke chapter 1 from verses 26. This morning, we're going to look through a significant amount of passages. And so you thought, your learning for the year has finished. But we're gonna jump through and really understand these angels. I think so often in our society we have a specific view of what the angels did and what they do. And so, but this morning we're really going to dig into what the Bible says. Some of these pictures that we have of angelic beings, these heavenly hosts, are actually biblically inaccurate. And so we're gonna look at some passages and hopefully understand it today. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at these words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was unable to conceive is in her 6 months. For no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word be fulfilled.' And then the angel left her." So, when we talk about angels, what are angels? What's the image that gets into your mind? What do you see when you see angels? Now, I'm going to invite all the children to stand up on your feet. All the kids in the place, or children at heart, you're welcome to. Stand on your feet. Come on. Everybody up. Now, you don't normally get this sort of permission, but you can stand on your chairs. So adults, make sure they don't fall and topple over. But kids, stand on the chairs. You're welcome to do that. Now, I want you to show me what an angel looks like. Okay? Show me what an angel looks like. Everyone's going to be watching you just to see, what does an angel look like? Show me an angel. That's a good one, Jared, there. There we go. It's a good one at the back. Oh, Bonnie, that's a good-looking angel back there. You notice mostly what they do is when they, you can grab a seat now, is kind of show some sort of angel wings. A lot of them I could see in your faces looking very angel-like. But often we show wings. Now, parents may disagree the angelic like being of their children in this season. But you think of wings. You look at the picture of our nativity scene at the back there, and you see the angel depicted with wings. If the angel didn't have wings, we'd probably look at it and go, is that an angel? Is that, or maybe it's in white clothing that might look for an angel. We have an image, and a specific image from what an angel is. And so I want you to put that image aside today and allow the scriptures, allow what the Bible says, to help you form this picture of angels. You see, we have pictures over the history of what angels look like, and drawing on wings is the most common way to demonstrate an angel. Now today, you will not find a passage in the Bible that says angels have wings. They're not described as having any wings. Now, you know, we have the shepherd interaction where they're kind of up in the air and they're in the clouds, but it doesn't say they flew there or they had wings. There's no image of an angel having wings. So it's actually biblically inaccurate. Our nativity scene is biblically inaccurate. But it's the best way for us to see it. So what does the scripture say of what are angels? So I want to draw you to Hebrews chapter 1:14. It says, so these passages will be on the screen so you can follow along. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So angels are spiritual beings. They are ministering spirits. They are sent to serve and sent to help and support us as humans. This is their key role. They are ministering spirits. They're sent on behalf of God to serve. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, it gives us this little bit of more descriptive. It says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, if someone visited me in white clothing with wings, I would know. You would know. And the author here in Hebrews says you have actually, potentially, already met an angel. Now, don't turn around to your wife and go, angel, you look beautiful this morning. You know, it's not a pickup line for our young adults. But it's potentially angels can appear in the form like you and me. That's what this says. Is that, in fact, you know, we may have an angel here this morning. Anybody an angel? Put your hand up. No? There's a few angels. Warwick, you're an angel. If there's an angel here this morning, they're closer to God than me, and so you should get up here and speak and tell about yourself. But so we see these. They come in the form of various sort of things. We see in the scriptures that, especially in the story that we just looked at, that these people clearly know they met an angel. And so the angels come in different forms at different times, and they speak the word of God. Revelation 5, verse 11 to 12. John gets this incredible image. It says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. The voice of angels. Angels speak. That's what we see in the scriptures. Angels speak and glorify God. There's angels in heaven, thousands upon thousands. Now, if you times 10,000 upon 10,000, let's get 100 million. Now, it's quite likely this number is not literal, but figurative. There is a significant amount of angels. Some have been sent to earth for various points in time, but some are simply worshipping God upon the throne. And you would see the passage there talks about angels and living creatures. There's these living creatures called the cherubim. They are not angels, but they are different spiritual beings. You see, back in the garden when God kicked out Adam and Eve, he placed the cherubim in there. These beings have wings. These beings have flaming swords. This is the image sometimes we think about in angels, but they in fact are different beings. These are the cherubim, not the angels. So there are living creatures, these significant, and Revelation goes to describe these sort of beings differently. Matthew 4, verse 11, gives us an insight to one of the roles in which an angel does. You know, as Satan tempted Jesus, as he'd just gone through 40 days of fasting in the desert, it says in Matthew 4, 11, that the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. You see, one of the roles of the angels is to provide comfort to us. To provide a comfort to Jesus, and in the same way, they would provide comfort to us. Matthew 24:36 says, "But about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Angels being spiritual beings, they are not God. They are not elevated to the same level of authority. They are not all-knowing beings. They, like us, you know, have been given insights into God. Given insights, they know and understand the scriptures, and they come and serve God faithfully. They are not God, though. Even Psalms speaks to the angels. Psalm 103:20 says, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, those who obey his word." You see, the angels were obedient to God's word, obedient to God's commands, his decrees. They are the mighty ones in which do his work, do his bidding, as it says. But they are created beings. They didn't exist at all time. Colossians 1, verse 16 describes this. It says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him. All things were created by God." Angels are in this. They were created by God, created for good, to worship God. Created as incredible messages to speak to us, to share us the majesty and the mighty name of God. To share and to intersect, to interact with us in his gospel story. We also see in Luke 1, verses 19 to 20, it says, "The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." You see, the angels like us, they've been sent here to share good news, share the good news of God. They speak to us. Some of them have names. Practically all of them have names. God has named them. God has guided them. There's different levels of angels. Gabriel. And they stand in the presence of God. They speak God's word. Now, as we speak the scriptures, as we share the scriptures, we in fact are similar in that way. We speak God's words. We can actually, through the Holy Spirit, understand what it means to be in the presence of God. Not in the fullness of heaven, but we get a glimpse like the angels did. We also see the power and authority spoken through angels. Verse 20 says, "From now on, you will be silent," he speaks to Zechariah, "and you will be not able to speak until this day comes, because you did not believe my words, which come true at their appointed time." See, in fact, the angels speak on behalf of God, and the power and the authority that comes from God flows through them. That power and authority, in fact, declare someone mute for a period of time. That flows through the angels. The angels don't have that power and authority, just like we don't have that power and authority. But in God, in Christ, we do. And God uses us. In the same way as the angels are in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, they also can demonstrate that power and authority. But not all angels remained obedient to God. Not all angels were obedient to God's plan, to God's word. There is a portion of angels that were disobedient to God. Sometimes we'll call these angels demons. We'll call them Satan, Lucifer. There's various names for these disobedient angels. You see, in Jude 1 verse 6 it says, "And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling,
These he kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. Some of the angels did not keep their position of authority. Some of them disobeyed God. That shows us that angels, like us, had a choice. They had a choice to obey or disobey God. They were created beings with a choice. And some disobeyed. Some led others astray. 2 Peter 2:4 said, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." Matthew 25:41, he says, Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels." God created hell clearly for the devil and his angels, those who are disobedient, these spiritual beings. And unfortunately, some in our world will have to go there. Revelation 12:9 gives us this another image of disobedient angels. It says, "The great dragon was held down, and the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, was hurled down to earth, and his angels with him." Not all angels were obedient. Some, in fact, were disobedient. To be an angel, to call your child an angel, sometimes they'll be obedient. Sometimes, especially during this Christmas time, they seem to be disobedient. Any parents say amen? Any parents using Santa? We won't mention that. But imagine, in this Christmas story, as we just read it, we've been reading it over the last few weeks, and I'm sure at home you've also been reading it and engaging in the Christmas story in different ways. You've been joining carols on it. Imagine for a moment if the angels that were involved in the Christmas story were disobedient. Imagine if the angels were not there. Were not there to declare the good news during the Christmas story. You see, the angels actually form an integral part in this story. We've been looking at a few different stories. So imagine we spoke about Elizabeth and Zechariah. Now, Elizabeth and Zechariah, who met an angel. Zechariah was ministering and serving within the temple, and an angel came and visited him. Imagine if that angel was not there. Imagine if Elizabeth still became pregnant. Imagine if she was still pregnant. They would have, because they're faithful people, given glory to God. But maybe they wouldn't have raised their son to be the forerunner of Christ. They wouldn't have prepared him to be the forerunner. Because nobody told them. Nobody told them that John the Baptist was to prepare the way for Jesus. There would have been no preparation. She would have just become pregnant. You know, the glory to God wouldn't have been as much. You know, we think that when Jesus comes and declares the good news, that so many people, crowds and crowds, were ready to hear the good news. Imagine if John the Baptist didn't prepare the people, didn't get the people ready. There would have been so many more people that missed out on the good news of Jesus Christ simply because the angel was disobedient. What about Mary and Joseph? What happens if Mary and Joseph, the angel didn't appear to both Mary and the angel didn't appear to both Joseph? What would happen? Likely, separation. They'll both engage and betrothed to be married. And remember, when the angel met with Mary and she became pregnant, remember that Mary went to Joseph and said, "I'm pregnant," and he was intending to divorce her quietly, in an honorable way. Imagine if he did that. Jesus would have not had a father figure. Jesus would have not had an earthly father figure to raise him. There would have been family separation. You know, they wouldn't have prepared Jesus for what he did. If the angel didn't come and declare this incredible good news, maybe they stayed together. But maybe we might have had a different name for Jesus. You see, the angel came and declared, you ought to call him Jesus. You know? Maybe they chose what we would call maybe a more contemporary name. Now, Jesus was born during the census. Maybe Jesus would have been called Census. Maybe he was put in straw. Maybe he was called straw. Something strange. Likely would have been probably called Joseph. And not Jesus. It wouldn't have fulfilled the prophetic truths that God had spoken before. God had prepared it. He planned it out perfectly. If the angels were not there, if the angels were disobedient, it wouldn't have gone to plan. It wouldn't have worked. What about the shepherds? The angels were important for the shepherds hearing the good news, the birth of Jesus. If the angels were not there to declare the good news of the birth of Jesus, the shepherds would not have heard. They would not have wondered about these things. The shepherds would have not have shared with others the great things about the birth of Jesus. Many people would not have heard if the angels were disobedient, if the angels were not obedient to God's word and intercepted and put themselves into the story like they did. You see, the angels were incredibly important to the story. And the angels that were here in the story, the angels were obedient to God. Obedient. Angels can be a disobedient, just like we can be disobedient. And so as we look at this incredible face of Christmas, what we see is obedient angels declaring the good news of Jesus, declaring in the way in which God had gifted them, that God had created them to do. So today, just like the angels, I'm encouraging you to be obedient to God. Just like the angels. You don't have to go and dress in white robes and grow a pair of wings. But simply, share with your neighbor. Simply share with your friends. Simply share with your family the good news of Jesus Christ. The great news. Declare with the gifts that God has given you. Share in stories this incredible birth of Jesus. This is a life-changing story that we have. Jesus is an incredible gift that we have. That's why we celebrate him. That's what Christmas is about. And share the good news of Jesus just like that.